Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
Singapore-based MAS-regulated private market exchange ADIX has today become the first financial institution in Singapore to recognize cryptocurrency assets when onboarding accredited investors. The move paves the way for more to qualify for accredited investor status and therefore gain access to private market products that are offered by ADIX. ADIX CEO Oi Chew joins me live for more details. Good morning, Oi. Thanks for being here.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me, Michelle. Glad to be with you this morning.
ADIX can onboard investors from all over the world. And we know that under Singapore's regulatory regime, individuals have to meet any one of three criteria in order to qualify as accredited investor. Give the listeners some context. How is it that crypto assets will come into play in ADIX's process of qualifying an accredited investor?
That's a great question. There are actually three limbs at which the accredited investor is looked at. The first one is income in the past 12 months needs to exceed 300,000 or a net financial assets exceeding 1 million Singapore dollars or then net personal assets exceeding $2 million. Currently, you know, most financial institutions recognize traditional asset classes like stocks, bonds, cash, real estate within that 2 million net personal assets. We believe, one of the first to actually be able to look at crypto assets as part of the calculation of the net personal assets. We think that crypto is now being seen as very much a part of everybody's wealth portfolio, and therefore they should be considered in this calculation.
All right. ADIX says it's the first financial institution to be able to do this. Now, are we talking about an expanded definition extended to other institutions, or has the criteria for determining accredited investors always fallen under the purview of financial institutions? So basically, why and how is ADIX the first in this area?
Yeah, I think that every financial institution has taken, obviously, a lens around what to accept, right, as definition of net personal assets or net financial assets. I think we have just taken a leap to include crypto. So I think every financial institution might have slightly different interpretations of that, and we are certainly taking an expanded interpretation of that. So I can't really speak for the other financial institutions. Mm. I think all I can say is we have done a lot of thinking, a lot of work, a lot of analysis. We're quite careful as to what we take as well. So we're not taking every single coin out there. We're very focused on the coins with very large market caps, Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDC. And we're obviously sort of quite selective about where the source of that information comes from as well. Different financial institutions have different ways of doing and analyzing that. So I can just speak for ourselves.
All right. What does your decision today then signal of your long-term view of cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, I think, as I said, we do think crypto is, you know, an asset class that's here to stay. I think what coins survive and what doesn't, I think I leave that to the people who are experts in that space. But we do think that we will incrementally expand our crypto capability over time. Again, it's really to allow our investor base to express their alternative investing through a single platform. Mm-hmm. So one of the things, for example, that we're looking at later this year is to expand our capability to allow custody of crypto assets on our platform. And, you know, that then becomes a stable for our investors to have a single view of their private alternative assets in one wallet.
Really interesting. How many more could be onboarded by ADIX given this move?
Yeah, that's a good question. If you believe the statistics out there, in Singapore, there are anywhere between 30 to 40% of Singaporeans that hold crypto. Mm. You know, Hong Kong and other markets have about 20+% of investors that hold crypto. I think the question is a number of these investors are likely to look at the way that they think about crypto again back into their other private market assets. And, you know, it's a bit hard to predict how many of that will onboard at this point.
So which cryptocurrencies will you be recognizing and why those particular ones?
Yeah, our choice at the moment, we took a fairly considered and conservative choice. Mm-hmm. We're just starting with the ones with big market cap, you know, quite well recognized, and some of them are, you know, actually have a bit of institutional following as well. The three coins for a start are Bitcoin, Ethereum, and USDC. And, you know, we're, again, sort of looking at it from slightly different lens. We're taking a little bit, given the volatility in the market, we're ensuring that we also look at it with a discount. So it's, for example, if you have one BTC, we kind of convert that back into Sing dollars, but we do take a discount to that, just to recognize that potentially how volatile the market is at the moment.
All right, let's dig a little deeper into that and talk about risk management and how exactly you're going to be managing the price volatility that we've come to associate with cryptocurrencies. Your discount rates differ. Tell us how and why they differ for the different types of cryptocurrencies you will be recognizing.
Yeah, so from what we're doing today is a relatively simple mechanism. We're not yet receiving crypto, although that will happen, you know, a little bit later. Mm-hmm. We're looking at a client's portfolio, and we're looking at their holdings in Bitcoin and Ethereum and USDC, which are the coins we're focused for now. We think that just from a risk management perspective, the discount rates for Bitcoin and Ethereum, sort of applying a higher discount rate at 50% because they're generally more volatile. USDC, because USDC is a stable coin and, you know, they're backed by sort of more traditional fiat currencies, that discount will be smaller. So that's at 10%.
All right. And finally, Oyi, do you see crypto assets being recognized as income or financial assets by more institutions in the near future?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that it will very much depend globally on what the respective regulators are going to do. There's currently quite a lot of debate about both stablecoins and cryptocurrency and how they should be classified. I think it will take a while, and maybe there's a split in the market between that financial assets and that personal assets. But I think, you know, the regulators are all very carefully considering in each of their jurisdictions what impact that would be. So it's hard to say right now, actually. So we're definitely being a bit more conservative in choosing that personal asset. Mm-hmm. But over time, you know, maybe in sort of 5 to 10 years, when the crypto world is a bit more, you know, larger, more stable, and has a bit more acceptance within the traditional financial community, that it can be considered net financial assets.
Well, thank you very much for joining us, Oyi. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
She's Oyi Chu, CEO of Addix. In the news today, you may have heard or read, Addix has become the first financial institution in Singapore to recognize cryptocurrency assets when onboarding accredited investors.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.